The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Oh, the count in four. Rich is here. Artie's here. Brady's here. Live on remote. How you doing? Good looking. What's going on, big boy?
I thought we were handsome.
Yeah, I got thrown off there. Sorry. I'm sorry there, handsome. What's going on?
Who is now? Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
All right, because he started, so I didn't know. I got to hear you twice. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, but
here,
yeah,
I'll fix this.
On? Yeah, thank you.
Aaron's back in the studio, and Aaron, we're hearing a echo, so this won't mean anything to anyone at home, but please take access out of audition so we don't hear ourselves.
That's what I was going to tell him.
Take I'm sorry about that.
Out of audition.
You don't know that.
It's hard enough to hear Arnie in real time, but then you got to hear
You're
him
good now. You
time,
can put the headsets back later. On. It's all fixed.
All right. There
Aaron
you go.
Even said he was sorry.
There you go. I feel so much better. All right. You see, I
feel like
when you have to hear myself screaming and then hear my echo of me screaming,
right.
It's very scary.
That one might have been the most half-hearted I've ever heard.
Completely throw it off. Brady, tell everybody where we are and what's going on. Let's set that again.
We're at Farnham Ale and Lager in South Burlington, 82 Ethan Allen Drive. That's a spot that you want to come join us at. What a fun Friday this is. We've got the Red Sox and Yankees. Yeah. Sox up 5-0 here and a big-time spring training matchup here, everybody. So we got that going on. We've got our buddy over at Max Sugar Shack, Marshall. He's here making tacos in a bag. We've already eaten like four of them. I've already had two sample flights of beer.
Yes, you have.
And have a beer in front of me. So
you're feeling good.
I am now, by the way, a beer connoisseur. I learned about coconut IPAs, double IPAs. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
I want everybody to know, no matter where you live, we're probably only about 10 minutes away. I didn't know this area existed. From my house, I just MapQuested it. And it says it's only about, like, 5 minutes away. But right. The way I took and this and that, I took the airport. Then it was a dead end. Then I go right and left. It circles around. I didn't know this place existed back here.
It's like a whole new world. It's just
a big
industrial park down below the airport runways. And a lot of people don't even know it's down here. There's a ton of businesses down here. It's been around for quite a while. And this is one of them. And, wow, this place is busy already, almost packed, but we'll find room for you.
No, this place is awesome.
And pet friendly, so you can bring the whole family out.
I was going to bring my dogs, but my dogs are not human friendly. So I
thought you said all Stanley wants to do is hug and kiss
you. Yeah, but
you.
He's so big, he just jumps on people, and people freak out. They're afraid of him. It's real ugly. They start screaming.
I was looking forward to you bringing him.
I wanted to, but he's a handful. He's
you're not going to have to deal with it. Your wife's
I
here.
Know that. She said she couldn't deal with it. She's even my wife said she couldn't deal with the dog. I mean, very upsetting. And the little one's only like 8 years old, but he's such a grouch. And if he doesn't get all the attention, so I should have brought him. There's no other dogs here, but come on by. The dogs are welcome. You're welcome. All kinds of food, of course, and, of course, great beer specials, and it's going to be a lot of fun down here.
My first taco in a bag experience, that thing was dropped from
Did
heaven.
You like that, huh?
Oh, my gosh, I ate it. I was hoping nobody was really watching, but I ate it in literally about a minute and a half.
And our friend Britt from What's on Tap
She's here.
She filmed me eating my taco in a bag.
That's always got to be tough,
here.
You know what I mean?
It was very difficult, actually, trying to eat for camera. Now I know why in a lot of TV shows, you always make fun of the Big Bang Theory, but my dad has noticed this, that in the Big Bang Theory, they always have food in front of them, but they never actually eat it.
Some do, though. Like Law and Order, you actually see them eating the Chinese food from time to time when they're sitting around with the lieutenant. So maybe they were breaking ground there, but I've noticed that. And I've started to come and realize I've got to be doing TV. Brittany has inspired me. She comes in here with the camera. She's filming. She's shooting. She's doing everything. I've got to do that, guys. That's got to be me.
I'll tell you what. She had a close-up of me eating a taco in a bag. And if it comes down to Brady up close eating a taco in a bag or me, I'm begging Brittany, her just to keep those ratings up, to keep me off of that thing.
Now, again, the appeal, though, of watching somebody eat on television is you can shoot down at them so you can see what's in the taco in a bag. I'm much taller than Brittany, so it's a lot harder to do that. So I think your shot's probably a little more better suited.
I just told him, I said, all I want is a huge mound of cheese and sour cream. Just throw it in there.
Sour cream?
Yeah.
Like only, you have taco in a bag and all you want is sour cream.
all the bad stuff. He's like, you want some
cheese,
lettuce? I said,
sour,
no, I don't need
meat.
Any of that stuff that's good for you.
Yeah, so come on by. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. I've given Brady the night off. No Champlain Valley game night for you, right?
You're really starting to irritate me.
I know, it's killing him, Rich. It's destroying him. Somebody yesterday came up to me and said, or was it Wednesday, so you're Brady's boss and you did give him the night off. And they were being totally serious.
You are not my boss.
I just don't.
It does bother him.
I know, and I'm trying to be nice to him, Rich. I'm trying to be nice to him.
Is that what that is?
And this is the thanks I get.
And then,
you know what? Then you stay until 7 and do a Champlain Valley game.
As your boss, I'll just remind the public that, again, you did not lift a finger today in helping us.
Not true.
He brought in one-pound box.
I did bring in the boss. I did bring in the boss.
I shamed him into it.
Yes.
Then you sat here until your wife came, and then you got up and acted like you had been helping.
Yep.
That is correct, too.
Yeah.
That is correct.
There's
also.
No getting out of this one, are you?
I pulled in Eddie Haskell. I said, hey, I'm lifting my, my fingers, and I'm working myself to the bone. All right, busy show. Lots going on. It's a Friday. Come on by. All kinds of stuff here. We're live at Farnham. Tell everybody how to get here one more time.
Oh, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, if you're coming from our station, which is pretty much right next to St. Mike's, you go down, you turn left on Limekiln Road.
Right.
And then you...
I know where that is.
Yes, Limekiln Road. And then you take a left onto Ethan Allen Drive, and then it's out on the left.
All right.
So I just did.
He just did. That was easy.
Just basically go to the industrial park behind the airport. You'll find it.
You'll find it there. All right, Brady, what's coming up in the show today? What's going on?
Well, let's also just remind people, too, because we're in the 101.3 ESPN Wintercraft Beer Tour. Next week is opening day of baseball. Next Thursday, we're going to be off the air, but we're going to be hanging out at RJ's downtown. This is our favorite spot here in South Burlington. RJ's is our favorite spot downtown Burlington. So we'll be watching the Sox and Rays. Thanks to our friends over at Sam Adams. We'll have specials there. Give away a pair of Red Sox tickets also. As for what's coming up on the show today, a Red Sox legend is picking the Yankees to win the American League East. What do we think about that? I should have called this Hometown Heroes Week, where we just got a bunch of people from this area doing big things. Eric McMahon, Burlington High School graduate. He's a coach on the Texas Rangers staff. He's going to join us at 4:35. Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal, on the red-hot Ryan Donato with the Bruins at 5:20. Power play at 5:35. But first... You know, it really, Arnie, we were so happy today because we're out here at Farnham. It's Friday. The weekend's coming. And then we have to hear this bad news. Kyrie Irving, he's going to have, quote, minimally invasive surgery. We don't know how long he's going to be out. We don't know exactly what it means, but we know Kyrie's going under the knife.
Isn't that what they used to call a scope, or am I correct? Is that the same thing?
Arthroscopic.
They just send in the scope, or is that different now?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's just because it's hard to say the word arthroscopic, so they say minimally invasive.
Okay. You know, of course, this is not only something to be worried about, it's downright scary. Here you were cruising along to perhaps the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and now with the problems that Golden State had, you could have gone up against the Rockets for an NBA championship. Now you're what, the fourth best, fifth best team? Nobody's giving you a shot. It seems like the season's done. Now I'm worried about Kyrie if he's ever going to be the explosive guy that we thought he could be this year, if that's ever going to come back. These are nothing... You know, that's the one thing you can't have an injury to. You can't have an injury to your knee. Otherwise, you're never going to be the same. It's never the same. Once they start cutting open that knee, I don't care. It's not like Tommy John, where you come back bigger and stronger, Brady. Everybody knows that. When you start cutting open into a knee, guys, it's never the same, no matter how good the operation is.
Maybe it's the Celtics fan in me, but I'm not being quite as pessimistic in the outlook of this. But, yeah, I mean, who knows what minimally invasive means? That could mean a million
different
things.
It's like arthroscopic when we were kids.
That's but, I mean, does it matter? I don't care. They can call it
whatever they want
to call it, but how long is he out? That's all I care about, because I look at this team as a team that's really just ridiculously banged up right now. They're missing about four-fifths of their starting lineup on some nights when Horford has his weekly sickness or whatever. And so, you know, and you've got Jaylen Brown out, you got Tice from the bench out, the list goes on and on. But if, as I was saying on the show yesterday, if you could just get to a point where you get all these guys back and relatively healthy, and maybe not Hayward, that might be a reach, but at least the rest of them, I feel like they could make a run for it, but you've got to get Kyrie reasonably healthy.
I'm worried about the Celtics now and in the future with Kyrie Irving. Because, look, we talked about this the other day. You're going to have to give him that five-year max deal. You're going to have to, because you can't let someone of that talent walk away. But I don't have any idea that he's not going to become the next Grant Hill, the next Penny Hardaway, the next Jamal Mashburn, the next Allen Iverson, Steve Francis. These guys who tear up the league, in some cases, for a decade. I mean, Iverson was great for a decade, but... you know, the plus side of the one-and-done era is we get these stars a lot earlier. The downside of the one-and-done era is we can lose these guys a lot earlier because they're coming in 3 years earlier than they used to, and they're playing 82 games, and that's hard to keep up for 15 years.
That's the other thing of the downside of the one-and-done. You don't play 82 games. If you're a star, you play 75, and then if you're a really big star, you play 70. And if you have an injury, maybe you cut it back to 60 or 55. Except, you know, if you want to prove a point, nobody's playing 82 games because they have to take nights off. I don't know about Curry, if or whenever the last time he played 82 games.
Well, he's playing tonight.
Oh, no, 82 okay. games in a season. It just doesn't happen. Plus, during the playoffs, and if you play for San Antonio, you're never playing more than 75 games in a season. Right. So that's just the way it's going
to
be.
Even Kawhi Leonard refuses to play any more games.
He's not even going to come back this year. They're begging him to come back.
And what's tough, too, about this is that the Celtics have tried to limit Kyrie's usage. Yeah. I mean, he's playing just 32 minutes a game, which is his lowest work rate since his rookie season. I mean, he is playing. You know, you can say, well, but just play him less. You can manage it that way. They're already doing that. So I don't know what more can be done here. You have to hope that Kyrie Irving's able to come back this season to help you contend for a championship.
Well, I think those days are over.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then I really have to hope that he's going to be okay down the line. But today is his 26th birthday. If you give him a five-year deal, I don't know that he confidently plays at this level until he's 30, 31. And I'd be really worried about that.
The thing that worries me, too, about this knee situation with him is his entire game is predicated upon him being quicker than the guy in front of him. You know, I mean, everything has about his game is about quickness. It's about darting in and out. It's making quick moves with those knees to get to the basket faster than anyone else. And if you take that away and that ability away, it's interesting because he's been apparently playing with it all year, but you certainly would never have known it with some of his moves to the hoop.
Here's the question. Would you rather have the maximum and give Kyrie right now a five-year deal for how much you're going to say?
Probably like 125 or so.
Or would you rather have Isaiah Thomas, but it's a five-year deal and cut it in half? And that way you could use the rest of the money to get somebody else. But I doubt you can get Isaiah for that type of money. Or you're certainly going to get a little bit of a discount. What would you rather have?
Well,
I don't know.
Isaiah, you're talking about back in the offseason. Would you have rather kept Isaiah?
Isaiah and saved some money, but then, you know, assuming you didn't have to give him the max also, which is a big assumption also.
I disagree with Rich, though, on that. Yes, Kyrie Irving is arguably the best ball handler and has arguably the best crossover in the league. You're right. Some of his game is predicated on speed. He's very, very good at that aspect of his game. We talked with John Brankus of Sports Science about his first step and all that. But to say that his whole game is predicated by that quickness, I don't think that's fair. Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose are not very good outside shooters. As you've seen with Derrick Rose, when he loses that athleticism that is robbed of him by those knee injuries, he's not a very productive player. Kyrie Irving is a phenomenal shooter. He is going to... He can last in this. Remember, Ray Allen was a good on the ball penetration dribble, go above the rim. When he lost that athleticism to go over, he became the best shooter in the history of the NBA.
Well,
Kyrie can still shoot. I'm not saying that he's done because of this, but I worry if he's ever going to be the player that he's been.
Carmelo Anthony is a great shooter too. I mean, a real damn good, better than a lot of people think. And that's not.
Yeah, but Melo was never an above. He never played like above the rim. Okay. Derrick Rose is not a shooter, and you've seen as his athleticism has waned, his ability to score has been waned also. Same, when Westbrook loses that great vertical leap, I wonder about his ability to score at will still. Iverson did the same thing. He was never a great shooter. When he lost that and got beat up, when he lost the ability to go to the hoop, he was in trouble. Kyrie is not that. I'm usually the first one to say, well, you know, when they lose something, we'll see what they get back to. Kyrie is a much better shooter than those. Remember Kobe. Kobe transformed his game to being a great shooter also when he didn't
Magic
need to
Johnson,
go above the rim.
Magic Johnson, remember Rich? He was a terrible shooter when he first came in mid-range.
I mean, but he did everything else well. But, and he continued to and then figured out how to shoot the ball and it became a Hall of Famer immediately. But my point with Kyrie Irving is, yeah, you can have him as damaged goods, and he's still going to get you 15, 16 points a game. But, you know, you hate to lose what he is right now.
Yes.
I think if you take away his ability to get to the basket and get by everybody and that incredible, you know, first crossover dribble that just, you know, breaks everybody's ankles defensively, I think you're taking away a very important part of his game, more so than a lot of other players.
I don't think, you know, going back to when you have your knee first cut open, it's not so much – you know, physically coming back. It's also mentally, too. You know, that's a big part of it. And remember, Derrick Rose didn't want to come back until he gets slam dunk off that knee. And that was like an extra 2 months in his rehabilitation. Sometimes also you don't want to go to the bucket and you want to pull up for a jumper. Kyrie's got a good, you know, fall away, put a hand in his face and make it a good shot. But eventually that's going to lead to wear and tear, going from an 82 game season to a 72 game season. The real question is after the surgery, will he be the Kyrie that could take you to an NBA championship? That's really the only question.
I think this surgery, yes. But I just wonder if this surgery will beget other knee injuries, which will beget other knee injuries.
Right.
And as we've seen with Brandon Roy, degenerative knees, as we've seen with Penny Hardaway. These guys, when you start to get multiple knee surgeries, it doesn't generally end well. And Kyrie's already had that knee operated on. He had a broken kneecap. Now, broken bones you come back from. Yeah. But we don't know exactly what this is. Is this a tendon thing, a ligament thing? Is this a bone thing? I have to, we have to get those answers. We're not going to know more until tomorrow.
By the way, the second most upset fan base in the NBA, other than the Boston Celtics, is the NBA. They're upset because they're running out of teams. Golden State's hurt. Cleveland was hurt. Boston's hurt. I mean, the last thing they want is a Toronto-Houston NBA championship.
And that's what it's looking like.
They're dying, dying for Boston and Cleveland to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're praying. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't say, can we help you out and give you more players? I'm telling you, they're panicked right now because it looks either Golden State or Houston you're okay with. But, man, what comes out of the East, it better be Cleveland or it better be Boston. You're in big trouble.
And Golden State is an interesting issue because, as we talked about yesterday, all four of their big four are down in one way or another. It looks like Curry's coming back tonight and Thompson. I think they're all going to be back for the playoffs, so they'll be well-rested. But just how banged up are they heading to the most important part of the season?
You mentioned Cleveland real quick on this.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving's had how many injuries in his career? I mean, he had the toe injury at Duke. He's had a finger injury. He's had the kneecap. He's had multiple surgeries during his time in the league. It really makes you appreciate what LeBron does.
Yeah. He's playing 82 games this year. He hasn't missed a game, has he?
I mean, you talk about Tom Brady.
38 minutes.
You talk about Tom Brady being able to do what no one has ever done at 40. And you talk about LeBron being able to do this in his 15th year, not only be excellent, but be available consistently. And knock on wood, he's never had a major injury. That's pretty amazing.
And he's just getting better. I mean, look at the numbers he's put up. And Cleveland's gotten hot. You know, we're kind of dismissing them a little bit because of Toronto staying healthy and being so good lately. But Cavs started warming up, and LeBron just seems like he's like Brady, getting better and better with age.
All right, Jake in St. Albans is on the Tom Fertitta text line. Do we take requests? Are we like a music station?
Does he want to hear some Led Zeppelin?
He's like,
something?
Give me some draft talk before I leave for work at 5, please. Ha ha.
God, I hope he's kidding.
Brady spends a lot of time figuring out what we're going to be talking about. But, I mean, can you give him a little bit of draft talk somewhere?
He just complimented you.
Thank you, Arnie. 5:10 today. We'll talk about the
Giants. Oh, but he gets out of work at 5. He'll have to listen to us on the radio on the way home.
That's just have him come down here.
Yeah, come on down here. Tell everybody where we are, Brady.
Farnham Ale and Lager. We're in South Burlington. We're hanging out on Ethan Allen Drive in the Industrial Park, nearest to the airport, also nearest to St. Mike's, kind of depending on which entrance you're coming from. We are here until 6. You got to get here now because there's no Champlain Valley game night, so we don't have 6 to 7 tonight.
Rich told me he has given Brady the night off from 6 to 7.
Yes,
so,
since I'm the boss
yes,
now.
Yes, way to go,
so
Rich.
At some point every day this week, we've had a different boss. Wow. That's Brady, the case. I'm taking the weekend off.
Brady, what's coming up next?
It's the daily spring training update. We're inside a week until opening day.
Yeah.
And
even David Ortiz is picking against the Red Sox.
Wow. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Golic and Wingo when you drive in. And the Huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live at Farnham Ale and Lager, South Burlington. It's not from the airport. You'll be able to figure it out. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock. park.
Found it.
Yeah, I found it. It's not that tough. It's literally like 7 miles from my house. I just had to navigate through everything because it was that dead end at the airport that threw me off. But
wait, once you get on the runway, it was
yes.
Kind of,
once
well,
I got on the runway, I knew there was a problem there. Exactly. So come on by Max Sugar Shack here. So certainly enjoying the great food of Max Sugar Shack, and we'll be here till 6 o'clock.
Taco in a bag.
Yeah, we're giving Brady the night off. So Rich and I have decided to give Brady the night off.
All of a sudden, I'm in a position of power. Where did that come from? I don't want a position of power.
Arnie, you are very much irritating me with
that.
Oh,
and after now, that's after everything I've said in a year and a half, that. Jeez.
Tell him that it irritates you because that's he's like a child. Once they find out they can't do it, they want to do it more.
It's like a scab. I'll just keep picking at it.
Oh,
all right, let's get to the spring training update. Jeez.
Daily spring training update. Well, we're here watching the Red Sox beat the Yankees today.
Yes.
In spring training. Oh, Aaron's got the music.
Let's get to the spring training update.
Spring training update. Red Sox Yankees playing today down in the Florida Heat. David Ortiz told Yahoo Sports that he told MassLive.com, he thinks the Yankees are better than the Red Sox right now. Is that blasphemy? Can he do that? Is that a big deal?
First of all, he shouldn't say that. He should just say it's 50-50. Let's flip a coin. One team's got better pitching. One team's got better hitting, maybe. You don't even really want to say that. If he really wanted to say that the Yankees are the favorite, I would be politically correct if I was him and say, it's 51% Yankees, 49% Boston. Let's see who wins the division. Or it's 50.1 Yankees, 49.9 Boston. Let's see who's good enough. If you say it like that, it wouldn't be a big backlash. I think the way he says it like that, I can see a lot of people in Boston, Red Sox fans, would be upset over that.
But he knows he's lining himself up for trouble by doing that. But you know what? As a Sox fan, I think I have no problem with it. It would be hypocritical of me to be mad at him for doing that, because how many times have we said, oh, just these athletes, and they're so generic and boring, and they're just, you know, yelling out baseball speak all the time. They're not saying anything interesting. And for us to criticize that goes against what we've been saying.
You know what? I'm with you again. We want honesty, but we only want honest answers when they fit with our narrative.
Yep.
But David Ortiz works for the Red Sox. David Ortiz is an employee of the Red Sox. He is there to do appearances. He is there to recruit free agents. He is there to be in whatever capacity the team needs him. And I don't know that it looks good for a team employee to publicly talk about the Yankees being better. Arnie, I'm with you. If he really feels that way, you can kind of be wishy-washy
you can be
about your answer.
About it.
But he's a team spokesperson. Team spokesperson. You'd like to think that he would support the team publicly.
And by the way, why would he say that? I understand that they got Stanton, but Martinez, it doesn't quite overset that. But when you're back-to-back AL East defending champions, shouldn't you be getting the benefit of the doubt? Kind of like when you're the champion in a boxer. You can't just win. You've got to beat that guy and beat him handily before you can take the championship away.
I'd like to hear how this sounded.
Yeah.
Is this one of those taken out of context things? Was he laughing the whole time he was saying it? I mean, what
he
did
he said? The Yankees pretty much stacked the lineup with more power. I don't think anyone else in the division can compete with that.
No, he's talking about Stanton. Really, you know.
So where in that does it say that he's picking the Yankees over the Red Sox? Did he go on later?
I think he went on and said it. He's basically, he's basically saying that right now the Yankees have done too much and no team can overcome that.
I'm not so sure. Look, I think they have, but I can see where people can make a – you guys have made a case for Boston. You've talked about the starting pitching being better than the Yankees. You guys have mentioned that the Red Sox, if they get good pitching from Price and yada, 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 with the strong closing, why shouldn't they be able to win the division? So I'm not so sure that he could have been able to say that just like that.
I mean, hell, Brian Johnson even went out and threw 4 2/3 shutout innings today. His spring ERA is like 1.7. I mean, it's hard to tell, but yeah, right now the pitching does look better, at least the starting pitching. But I don't know. I look at that comment about they pretty much stack the lineup with more power. I don't think anyone else can compete with that. To me, that says David Ortiz is saying you can't compete offensively with the Yankees, and I think that's a true statement.
As far as him being right or wrong, I think that the Yankees have more certainties about them. The Red Sox, Arnie, they can win the division, but I think it's a lot more if this happens, if that happens, if Sale holds up in the second half, if Price returns to what he was in Tampa and in Toronto and in Detroit and what he was the second half of his first year with Boston. If Rodriguez is healthy, if Pomeranz can duplicate last year, if Carson Smith is healthy, if Tyler Thornburg is healthy. There's a lot of potential with the Red Sox, but there's a lot more unknown. As far as the Yankees, I look at that bullpen and say, that is a certainty. Canley, Robertson, Green, Chapman, Betances, those five, we're going to end up with four of them being at least pretty good. I think Betances is on the downslide a bit, but the other four I think are pretty good. The offense I think is pretty much a lock to be good. Their rotation is a question, but they might win games.
Wow,
nine,
look
seven.
At you. There's a leak in the boat, and you two can't jump fast enough off ship. Look at that, man.
No, I'm just
look
saying.
Look at that. Jump.
What have I said that indicates that I think the Yankees have a very good offense? I mean, what else have I said that indicates they're going to win the division?
I think the Yankees are winning the division.
Yeah, they are winning the division.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're winning
the
division.
Close.
And
tough
I think,
call.
And I think Toronto's not as bad as everyone wants to make them out. You that in Toronto that has a frontline starter in Marcus Stroman, has a guy in Aaron Sanchez who's pretty darn good too, a guy in Schaap who's good, Marco Estrada who's good, a closer in Roberto Luna, and an offense that by was MVP, MVP, Johnson. I like Toronto has in terms of their potential to at least hover around 500. I don't think they're a pushover in that division that the Red Sox and the Yankees just walk all over.
What are you looking through the first six games when they start on the road? 6-0, 5-1, pound the ball and win every game? Because they really should pound these teams. The Yankees would pound those two teams and go 6-0. I probably are at least 5-1.
To play Tampa in the Marlins, I would say you got to go 4-2.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a road.
I'd say 4-2.
I would say better than that.
And you're going to have to face Archer probably on opening day, but it's going to be against Sale. So, Tampa looks awful. Would you agree? I think a fifth piece written all over them. Baltimore, as usual, has no pitching.
Yeah, Tampa, I would say, has fifth place written on
I would say sixth place, even though there's not enough teams there. Eric and Colchester said Yankees and Red Sox, same lineup, Stanton and Martinez. I say Sox win again. Yankees cannot compete without pitching. You know, I just brought that up. Those were the two additions. You could make a case for Boston if it's just the addition, but, man, the way Stanton, I mean, it's not just one addition. That's like adding three or four guys, and not only does it help adding him, it helps Judge, it helps Gregorius, it helps the whole, helps the pitching, it helps everybody.
I'll say it again, and you mentioned it too, the David Price thing is just an absolute key, because I think you've got a good number, well, very good number one, obviously, a premier pitcher in Chris Sale in Boston, but you've also Luis Severino, who looks to be a lock as a team ace at this point. Keep him healthy, and the Yankees are right there. But then the question becomes, who's your 2, 3, 4, 5? If David Price can become sort of a 1A to Chris Sale, or even close to a 1A, I think this sucks a big advantage there, because what are you going to get out of Tanaka? What are you going to get out of Sabathia? Who is that number 2, 3, 4, 5 starter?
That'd be great.
Those guys.
I think that as far back to Ortiz, he's not wrong. But if you're a team employee, I don't know, I'd say it publicly.
That's like saying, oh, my goodness, your wife is a lot better looking than mine. Yeah. You got me there. You got me on that one. Let's get to the Sweet 16. Yesterday's games, and by the way, Sister Jean was on with JT the Brick last night right after the win. Unbelievable. Let me tell you something.
Wasn't past her bedtime? Was
no,
that mean? Was
she,
that mean
no, it is right. A little mean. She speaks like a coherent 50-year-old. I think she speaks better than I do. I'm serious. She understood all the questions. It wasn't like JT had to go, hello, sister, can you? I mean, she understood. She talked. It was she's 98 years old.
She's probably been hanging out with my Nana.
She's 98 years old, and she was coherent. You could ask her questions. She gave you good, long answers. I mean, it was like she was a pro at this.
It gives us hope.
Yes, it does.
Really
does. It does.
Is that how I'm going to sound in 40 years?
Her and my Nana probably just hanging around talking basketball.
It was. You have to listen to it. It was unbelievable. But as for the games today, I think it's going to be very uninspiring. I think they're all going to be blowouts. I don't see one game that's even going to even be single digits. I think Kansas just going to clobber Clemson. Not even going to be a game. I think Villanova does the same thing to West Virginia also. They'll get out running. West Virginia's not going to be able to guard Villanova. I think Syracuse could lose by like 25 today to Duke.
Yeah, I think Duke can shoot them right out of
midnight.
That
it's midnight. It's been midnight for a while. They've overstayed their bounds. I think Duke just destroys them. I think Duke is like an 11-point favorite. I wish I could sell my car right now and put it on Duke. And I think Purdue, even though I have a lot of respect for Texas Tech, that could be the closest game of the bunch, but I think Purdue wins that one. So I think all the favorites win today and go on to the next round after that.
Yeah, last night was fun. Let's face it. I mean, it just, you know, you, whenever
Michigan clobbered them.
But I mean, whenever you have a 9-9-11 in the Elite Eight. That's fun.
Yeah.
See, I mean, we talked about that earlier in the week as to whether that's what people want. It's certainly what I want. I'm thrilled about it.
It's the first Elite Eight in NCAA tournament history with at least three teams seeded ninth or lower. As far as getting in tonight, the big matchup to me is Syracuse and Duke. Even though it's a 2-11, it's Coach K against Jim Boeheim.
Yeah.
The two winningest coaches in men's D1 history. And it's the first NCAA tournament game ever between the two winningest coaches in history at that time.
I would never have guessed that. I would not have known that. I thought I would have sworn
Bob Knight and Dean Smith might have played each other. I would have thought that.
Yeah, but I would have sworn Boeheim and Coach K would have played each other.
But they haven't played since they both became the 1-2.
Okay. I misunderstood that. I'm like, they had to wait a minute here. How could they not have played each other?
The thing that surprised me last night, and then we got to go to break.
Yeah.
The thing that surprised me last night was just the athleticism of Florida State completely overwhelming Gonzaga.
Oh, jeez.
You know, Gonzaga got it to like 25 all. And then it was 31-31 or whatever. And then Florida State went on an 8-0 run or something right before the half, hit a couple of threes. And then you never really heard from Gonzaga again.
No, I don't even know if it was back to single digit, but they won by 15,
won
right?
Won by 15, 75-60.
Yeah. I don't know how close it got after that, but I was surprised that they kind of went flat after that.
And I have to play this. To me, it's different. You know, Gus Johnson used to work at CBS, and he worked at CBS for a long time. Now he works at Fox. And Gus Johnson, to me, was one of the best voices in the history of March Madness. Just how crazy he always got. Seeing Kansas State play for the Elite Eight the other day, or last night, was like what I saw 6 years ago, or 8 years ago, back in 2010. They played Xavier in one of the most epic games ever. And I had to pull the highlights. It was the Sweet 16 game to go to the Elite Eight. And Gus Johnson calling Kansas State. Just listen to
all
Gus.
Right, all right,
this is
Gus.
Tournament nostalgia. Go ahead, Aaron.
Pull it. Stop and start. Clemente again! Oh, damn it! And one! Runs a pick and roll with Clemente. Pullen stops. Seven. Lets it go! And buries it! Oh! 11 to go. Holloway kicks it out. Crawford, 8. Crawford's got to hurry! Up! Oh, no! He tied it!
Wow.
So Kansas State, the last time they played for an Elite Eight, that's what it sounded
How
like.
Many
Bring
years
back
ago?
Gus. 2010.
He's great. I mean,
Beasley on that team, though?
No, that was 2007.
Wow. It's been that long for him. Jeez.
2008, rather.
And that's,
okay,
his,
so that's
that
close.
Kind of a call only works on TV. I've tried doing that on radio. Nobody has any idea what's going on.
No, Gus Johnson is the GOAT of March Madness.
He
and
is.
I love Kevin Harlan. I love a lot of those guys, but no one replaces Gus.
Alex in Moncton said, what the Yankees lack in the starting rotation, they make up for it in elite bullpen. It's elite even if Betances doesn't fix his control.
I completely agree.
All right, so
best
there.
Best bullpen in the league, probably.
What do we got coming up next, Brady?
Well, Eric McMahon is going to join us. We should have named this Hometown Heroes Week. People that have come from this area and are doing big things at the highest levels. Eric McMahon is a Burlington High School graduate, and he is now the assistant strength and conditioning coach with the Major League Texas Rangers, and he'll join us next.
Nice. Next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on a Friday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You know, if I was smart enough, I would have thought of this name earlier in the week. We should have dubbed this week Hometown Heroes Week because of all the local success stories that we've had on between the Huddle and Champlain Valley Game Night, from Ellie Purier, from Maggie DeMasi, to Morgan Valley yesterday, who's the assistant coach at Arizona and is a Rice product. Now we're talking on the TikTok Jewelers guest line with Eric McMahon. He's a Burlington High School graduate, and he is the assistant strength and conditioning coach for the Texas Rangers in Major League Baseball. Eric, I have to say this. Congratulations. Thank you for being with us. But as a diehard Mariners fan, I've spent a lot of time yelling at the players that you work with.
I was just looking at the schedule. We go there 3 or 4 times this year, so looking forward to it.
Now, we focus frequently on what the path is like for players to get to the major leagues, but it's the same for anybody who works up through the front office, through strength and conditioning, through the coaching ranks, and you're no different. You spend time with the Brewers earlier in your career. You spend time at multiple levels of the minors in the Rangers organization. What does it mean for you to get up to the majors?
Yeah, definitely it's the same in a lot of ways. This is my 13th year in professional baseball. I started my first team was in Helena, Montana, a rookie ball, short season team, a lot like the Vermont Expos, and just worked my way up through full season clubs, single A, double A, triple A, and yeah, just got this opportunity. But coming out of the Burlington area, it's definitely been really, really special for me. Just kind of thinking about where I started. You know, I think my first job was actually as a parking attendant at for the Vermont Expo. So kind of a cool, full circle experience. And when I look at it now, I haven't missed a season since I was 16 years old. So pretty cool experience to look back on.
We know in the playing circuit, you don't run into many, if any, Vermonters. But do you run into Vermonters in professional baseball in general?
Not very often. I'll make sure to have a conversation when I run into a guy from the Northeast. It is not as common. A lot of the big state, Florida, California, Texas guys playing at the professional level, and really from everywhere. But, smaller states, especially up in New England, not as many guys. But definitely nice when you run into
Now, how did you get into professional baseball? Because being in this, being from this area, you played football growing up at BHS, and you played it in college at St. Lawrence. What got you into baseball?
Good question. Yeah, I played football, hockey, baseball at Burlington High. Hockey was probably my funnest sport that I enjoyed the most, and I really worked at it. Football was probably my best sport, and baseball was the one I definitely knew the most about. I played football in college based on my athletic abilities, and then I just pursued when I got into strength and conditioning. Kind of came from my football background in college. I got into strength and conditioning, and I think just my comfort level with the sports medicine side of things, that's really important in baseball, and that pushed me in the direction of pursuing professional baseball.
Eric McManus, the assistant strength and conditioning coach with the Texas Rangers. He's a Burlington High School graduate. He's here with us on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. How diverse do you have to be in your skill set at the major league level? I mean, I got to imagine it's very, very personalized and very, very different. Each player is getting different treatments, different workouts, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. I'm in a good situation where I've worked up through the minor leagues with in the Rangers system, so I know a lot of our players really well. I kind of know where they've been, everything in terms of what their training background is, what their injury histories are, so I can kind of cater programs to what their individual needs are, kind of on a case-by-case basis. A lot of team programs in place as well. I just think from a efficiency standpoint, you have to always be able to manage the team in a really efficient way. So we do a lot of speed training and just general athleticism training just to kind of keep guys moving well. And that's universal. So you have to be very well versed. You have to be able to always be ahead of the next trend in fitness and exercise, sports medicine, just because guys are always coming to you with these new things that they're hearing about, or, you know, other players with other teams are trying new things, and we have to be always studying and learning those things so we can be ahead of the curve there.
I imagine that in some places it's hard to get kind of in, you know, get on the same page with a player. What I mean is that some guys got their own personal workout guys that they trust. Other guys got their college plan that they were on that got them to this point. Other guys, there's a language barrier. How do you break down those doors to get guys on the same page with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of great strength coaches out there. There's a lot of great programs. You know, at the professional level, I think being open-minded to what a guy comes to the table with. I mean, we have a lot of experienced veteran players that, even in a lot of ways, were in the game long before I was. So, we have Bartolo Colon in camp right now. I think he got to the big leagues when I was a sophomore in high school, for example. So, if you're not open minded to what these guys bring to the table, you're not going to be able to do this for a long time at the highest level. So I mean, we're all adults. And, these guys have a lot of experience to dig from, and I think that's a great place to start with when you're working with a new player that comes in with a lot of experience and know-how in their program.
Eric McManus is the assistant strength and conditioning coach for the Texas Rangers. He's here with us in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3 ESPN.com, also a Burlington High School graduate. All right, what's the personality like for Bartolo Colon and Adrian Beltre? Two of the guys, I think, with some interesting personalities.
They've done this a lot. They're experienced guys, and I think the one thing that they bring to our team is they are leaders in the clubhouse, extremely well respected by the Latin guys and the American guys, just for what they've done for the game. Who they are, how they communicate, and that's what makes having those two guys in camp really special for us right now.
Do me a favor and tell Beltre to stop homering off Felix Hernandez every other game.
I don't know if I can do that.
Hey, settle this one, because I was a college baseball player, and I'll take anybody on that wants to tell me that baseball players aren't real athletes. You could be fat and play, and you don't have to be fast to play, and I will get so mad at all of that. Tell me just how good the athletes are that you work with.
When I got into the game, baseball in the Northeast is a little bit different than other parts of the country, and I remember when I got into the professional game, I remember thinking, man, these guys run and, do a lot more training than I ever remember doing when, playing high school baseball in Vermont. But just in the way the game's gone, there's a lot bigger bodies, stronger guys than we had years ago. You look at the Mike Trout and just the speed numbers those guys put up. I mean, I remember when I started with the Brewers, seeing what vertical jumps were for pitchers, and then coming over to the Rangers, just the level of athletes we have here. It's pretty common for us to have the 30, 35, 40-inch vertical jumps, which you typically think of with college football players or NFL or NBA guys. So we're seeing those numbers a lot more. We have some really strong guys. Training's come a long way. Players aren't afraid to push themselves. I think there's always been a little bit of a stigma in the game where, you get too body and you can't throw the baseball, or you're not, you don't have the mobility to swing the bat. But that's really changed.
Eric, the question we ask every local person who's now out of the area: one, how often do you make it back to Vermont? And two, when you come back to town, what's the first food place you're going to?
How often? I try to make it back once a year. I have kids and we live in Texas, and so we can't always do that, but I try to get back around the holidays. And my wife would really like that I say this, but the food place we always go to, it's her favorite restaurant, and the place I grew up going to is Al's French Fries. So
yes,
that's it's probably one you hear quite a bit.
But. Yeah, that's one we hear quite a bit. Eric McMahon, assistant strength and conditioning coach with the Texas Rangers, up with the big club this season. I'll wish you well, but it pains me to say that as a Mariners fan, but I wish the Rangers well this year.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right, there you go. A lot of the locals end up with cool jobs, Brady. I love it. So it's pretty cool to see them in all different types of places around the country. And like the women's Arizona coach yesterday, the assistant coach, it's pretty good to see.
And you never know where you're going to run into people. I met McGillicuddy's at the basketball tournament party that we had, the one at Five Corners that I was at. And his dad walks up. He says, "Rich, guess what? My kid made the show." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And I'm thinking, doing what? Because I don't remember him as being a star baseball player. And, we talk about a proud dad.
Nice,
so I'm glad we
nice.
Got a chance to get him on.
I love it. I just love these stories. We're going to come back. We'll finish out hour number one right here in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is a Friday. It is a fun Friday. Rich, we booted Arnie out for the moment because we're going to talk to the brewmaster here at Farnham Ale and Lager. We are out here on Ethan Allen Drive enjoying a fun Friday. Ben, the brewmaster, is here. Ben, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks. How are you doing today?
We appreciate you joining us. And tell us a little bit about your operation. We heard you opened up this building in 2016. Where did it all start and where are we going?
Well, the brewery originally started in Farnham, Quebec. And a couple of years ago, they decided they wanted to come down and start making beer in Vermont, which they did to some degree of success. And then, last August, I came on board and decided to revamp the brewery with all new recipes, all new, basically a whole new philosophy. We're trying to be locally backed, eco-friendly, and make the best beer we can.
Now, this place is awesome, and I've sampled a couple of different things already. I've noticed about you have a little bit of everything. You've got some pale ales, you've got some IPAs, but your IPAs have a different taste than I'm accustomed to. They're not as bitter, they're not as hoppy, which leads me to believe that I can drink more of them, so I think I like that better.
Oh, they're very hoppy. They're not very bitter.
Yeah. So they're delicious. Now, take us through, not the whole brewing process, but how long does it take to make your beer?
Oh, it really depends on the beer.
Yeah.
For most of them, we can start mashing in, and we can have the tank empty, rather the fermenter full, in about 4.5 or 5 hours.
Now, we're in a lucky spot here, Rich, because the tap room is only open Thursday through Saturday. So you ask, oh, where can I come and try the beer? You guys actually distribute to a lot of restaurants, a lot of entities around town. Where can we get your beer?
Just a quick correction. We're actually going to be open Sundays as of after this Killington Festival this weekend.
All right. So right now you're still only open till Saturday. Was it wrong? It's just going to expand till Sunday starting soon?
Well, you weren't that wrong, but you were still wrong.
A little bit wrong.
Come on.
I'm more,
take the plunge. Admit it.
I'm more right than Arnie usually.
Well, so that's true.
Those are big words.
Yeah. So, all right.
That's not saying a whole lot.
So tell us where we can get your beer.
Honestly, we are in a lot of accounts all over Vermont, but in the greater Burlington area. Our preferred stops are Healthy Living, the Winooski Beverage Outlet, City Market, 802 BWS, and the Waterbury Craft Wine Cellar.
And we'll get you out of here on two questions, one for me and one for Rich.
I'm fine. This is taking me away from work.
And you might as well get a fun Friday, too. What makes your beer different? We've been to a lot of breweries and a lot of breweries that we've loved and we've had great experiences at. What makes your brewery different? What makes your beer different?
Well, I can't say it necessarily makes our beer any different because we are very meticulous about everything we do and we try our best to craft our beer as best we can. And that's, very high quality ingredients, very strict process control, stringent lab testing. But I think every brewery that really cares about their product does do that.
Yeah.
So it may not make ours different. Maybe we're just a little better.
Ben, we'll get you out here on this because I got to ask this one on Rich's behalf. I like craft beer, and I've liked craft beer for a bit now. Rich still will primarily go for the Bud Light. So what beer do you have that's closest to Bud Light or Labatt Blue, who we do a lot of stuff with?
Oh, my goodness. In this industry, those are dirty words.
I know. I'm just saying, though, what do you have closest to that for someone who hasn't taken the craft beer plunge?
Well, I personally recommend our American Pale Ale,
It was great.
It's brand new. We released that a couple of weeks ago. That beer is a little bit lighter in body than most of our IPAs, and it's lower in alcohol, and it is less hoppy. That means less bitter as well as less hop flavor. So that would probably be the most approachable beer for a craft beer neophyte.
Craft beer novice.
If it's any consolation to you, Ben, over the years, when I walk into a place and I ask a question like that, the look I get could put me 6 feet under. It would deservedly so.
Well, if you really want to try something weird, I've got a smoked wild fermented ale fermented in bourbon barrels out back that'll probably make you say, what the f***?
Hey!
Ooh, sorry.
We got to go to break, top of the hour. That was Ben the Brewmaster. Edit that out, Intern Aaron. We'll be right back.
I'm so sorry, guys.
101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We are live at the Farnham Ale and Lager in South Burlington. Come on by. Ethan Allen Road. We're right by the airport. We're not far. Come on by. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. All kinds of great specials. Max Sugar Shack is here with some great food items. So just stop on by. It's a Friday.
Maiden voyage.
You
tonight.
Did.
I'm
you
a
loved
taco
it. Rich.
In a bag,
you
and
loved it.
Drop from heaven. Last time we were out with that available, last summer.
We were out at the Valley Vape Company.
You had three of them.
I did, and I'll have two more today to eat in that total. What's wrong with that?
I love
absolutely
it.
Nothing.
And we had lunch over at the Burger Bar today. Rich, you missed it. Lunch was on the boss.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You missed You I never sleep, turned down a free meal.
Well, I sleep through everything if it's at midday, so.
You never turned down a free
meal. When is 1:30 midday?
Yeah.
You should have made it.
It is in my world.
By the way, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. Brady dumbed it down a little bit. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Huh. Of course, with the game coming up tonight, Duke, Syracuse, or neither. And that will be coming up for Power Play, the new and exciting game, sweep of the country. Who knows? Maybe we'll give away $1 million because we know we'd never get a winner for that. Look at Brady looking at me like,
Don't do that.
Because
the
then
boss
we'll be
is the one saying, don't
yeah,
do
the
that.
Boss is the one that saying, no, we're not giving away $1 million.
I have to answer to the boss.
Well, but if I said we were and we had to, nobody's going to have a boss. This place would be shut down. We ain't giving away $1 million. We got the 4-minute football fix coming up because my Dolphins get a new quarterback, Brady. Brock Osweiler on his way to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Are you happy about that?
I don't care.
That should solve it.
I don't know. But before we get that, what's going on this hour? What's happening today?
Well, we're live at Farnham Ale and Lager in South Burlington. We're having great beer. We had the American Pale Ale. I've sampled the double IPA. I've sampled coconut IPA, which I didn't even know existed.
Bounce Bar.
Oh, it was delicious.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It was great. We just hung out with Ben the Brewmaster. Remember, next Thursday, opening day, we're not on the air, but we're live at RJ's downtown. We'll be watching the Sox and Rays with Sam Adams specials. We'll be doing all kinds of giveaways. We've got a pair of Red Sox tickets we're giving away. We got Sam Adams specials, including seasonal and New England IPA. So that's fun. And that's where the fun ends right now for this area because the Celtics are without Kyrie Irving. We don't quite know for how long, but Kyrie is going to have a knee procedure. And it's going to be, quote, minimally invasive surgery, but that's not good news.
You know, you compared him to other guards, Iverson, Derrick Rose, Brandon Roy, Penny Hardaway. I don't know, fair comparison. Penny Hardaway and Rose, or excuse me, and Iverson, their surgeries a long time ago. Things have changed. Science, medical science and all that. And also, no two injuries are the same when it comes to talking about a knee. And people heal differently also. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of gauge what's going to happen, but this just sounds like the beginning. I'm not a doctor, but why do I get the feeling that once they get in there, they're going to say, oh my goodness, we found this and we found that, and it's not going to be just a little invasive surgery. It's going to have to be more to something, and it's going to linger. This is something that he's going to have to deal with his whole career. That's what I'm waiting for. This is no big thing. But when it leads to the bigger thing, that's the one I'm more worried about.
And the thing I want to know is, okay, so he's having this non-invasive surgery. Is that going to take the pain away to the point that he can be the Kyrie Irving who was doing what he was doing before this started happening?
But this has been happening all year.
Right. But he's still going out there putting out 24, 5, and 8 or whatever it is he's putting out. I mean, is whatever's happening today, tomorrow, whatever day it happens, is that going to cure the problem for the time being?
Arnie, I don't worry about this being the tip of the iceberg for this injury.
Right.
I worry about this being the tip of the iceberg in his career.
Right.
And he's already
That's what I meant.
He's already had a number of injuries. I wonder what's coming next for Kyrie, because Iverson is the guy I've always compared him to. They're small. They go to the rack a lot. They take a lot of contact. They have the ball in their hands an inordinate amount of times. And Kyrie has the ball more in his hands now than he did when LeBron dominated the ball in Cleveland. And I just look at the beating that Iverson took year after year and night after night, and he was out of the league effectively by 33 years old. But he stopped being good at about 30. And I worry about that. Now, Kyrie has more to fall back on than Iverson does. He's a better shooter than Iverson, so he doesn't need to go to the hoop as much. He also doesn't play defense like Iverson did. Iverson was a hound on defense, so he took, you know, a constant beating on defense also, and Kyrie doesn't really do that. So I think it's kind of an uneven parallel, but I still think there's a parallel there. I worry if Kyrie's out of the, you know, has lost his effectiveness earlier than we like.
Vince says, don't compare Kyrie to the answer. Wrong. I think you're kind of selling Iverson short.
I think Iverson was phenomenal. Iverson is my favorite basketball
player. Right,
right. Let's see in 8 years from now what Kyrie is. I mean,
I am worried, yes, that Kyrie is not going to be able to be this Kyrie Irving in 8 years. Because when you come out early, you don't play 15 years very often. Now, LeBron is doing it, and it's unbelievable. Kevin Garnett did it at a very high level, I would say, for 12 to 13 years. But you're talking about a guard whose game is partly predicated on speed and quickness, and who takes a lot of contact, who isn't very big, who already has a very long rap sheet of injuries. I worry that if the Celtics give him a five-year deal, as we imagine that they would like to, I worry about his ability to be an all-pro player for the duration of that contract.
And let's face it, when you're putting it up against an Allen Iverson, he is the absolute poster boy for abuse in the paint. I mean, nobody took more abuse of his body than Allen Iverson did. The fact that he lasted as long as he did with his style of play is a miracle, not to mention the fact that he was about 6 feet, 170.
If they don't win a championship with Kyrie Irving in the next this year and 5 years after when they signed an extension, then the whole Kyrie Irving experiment was a failure, as far as I'm concerned. That's the reason they brought him in here, is to win a championship and to, you know, obviously move Isaiah.
And you gave up a top pick for him.
Yeah, you didn't have to give up a whole heck of a lot.
No, as it turns out, that wasn't a bad trade, although we'll see. I mean, who knows? If you get nothing out of Kyrie, then was it a good trade?
Yeah, well, it would be a whole failure on that.
The thing that is good, and the thing that I love from the beginning about what Danny Ainge has done, is he set this team up to compete both now and in the long run. You have young, controllable pieces like Jason Tatum, like Jaylen Brown, who are going to be here for a while, who can develop into stars in their own right. In Tatum's case, is already hitting some of that potential.
He can't even play 82 games.
No, I'm just... Then you've got Irving and Hayward who take you through, and Horford who take you through the next, in Horford's case, probably 3 years. Horford, Kyrie, and Hayward lead the team for 3 years. And then it transitions to being Kyrie, Hayward, and then the two young guys now in Brown and Tatum. And then whoever else you've got there. And Terry Rozier looks very good now also. So there's pieces here to compete both now and in the future. But I do worry about giving max deal to Kyrie Irving, because I just don't know how his body is going to respond year after year.
If the Celtics were in the Western Conference, they would probably, and remember, don't go by the record, because their record would be a lot worse than it is because they're playing in the East, because they certainly get a lot of easier games than if you played the West. They'd probably be
easy, John Calipari, with the easy road theory.
Don't forget they get to play Memphis like four more times.
Yeah, they would probably be like a 4 or 5 seed when it's all said and done, because it's so stacked in the West. I don't think that they would be in the top four. They wouldn't even get home field advantage when it was all said and done. They'd be behind Houston, Golden State. I mean, I think they'd be behind Portland. I wouldn't say New Orleans, but it'd be right equal with that. I think I could see right there in the mix for the 4 or 5 with the
Spurs,
Pelicans and the Thunder, or something like that. So that I really do. Otherwise, they'd be in big trouble.
But that's not where
they're in the Eastern Conference on that. All right, we got to get to the 4-minute football fix, because we got a football to get to. The 4-minute football fix, intern Aaron. The 4-minute football fix, intern Aaron.
Stop.
And real fast, I told you Brock Osweiler signed with my Miami Dolphins a 1-year deal.
Excellent.
I'm sure bare bones minimum to probably back up Ryan Tannehill. No back.
Two great tall bus quarterbacks.
No, when you don't have when you have five running backs, you don't have one. When you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Oh, don't tell me. If it was Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, you wouldn't say that.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah,
I smell a
7-9 season coming. You've got to be excited about that.
Yeah, I am 7-9. I wish that good. I'm hoping for 7-9. I keep my fingers crossed on that one, Rich, that's for sure.
4-minute football fix, not something we thought we'd talk about today. The Giants lose Ross Cockrell, okay? And you might not know who Ross Cockrell is, but Giant fans do. Defensive back, who was good cornerback depth for the Giants last year. He is leaving. E.J. Gaines signs in Cleveland. He was previously a Buffalo. The Giants lost Cockrell, and that's a guy who they counted on coming back. And now you've released Dominic Rogers-Cromartie. You don't know. So I think now defensive back has snuck up on us to become one of the biggest needs on this Giants roster. And as we approach the draft, the Giants have a lot of needs.
Yes.
I don't know that they really could have afforded a defensive back to become as big a one as it appears it's going.
Maybe that's what the extra draft pick is for, though. Like you said, there are so many glaring needs for this team. I don't even know how you could even address that when you've got other things to address. And I still don't think the running back situation has been taken care of also. They're going to have to take one. I think that third round that they just got is the good one that they're going to be doing that. Plus, I still don't think they've settled anything with Odell Beckham Jr. I feel like that's a cloud hanging over them also, guys. So, and it goes to show me now, because of this latest move, they're more in the rebuilding. I know people were iffy on that. Half the people said yes, half the people said no. I'm totally convinced they're more in the rebuilding, maybe not from the bare bones minimum like Cleveland, but they're into the rebuilding mode right now.
And
no
they
doubt.
Spent all that money fixing their defense, and pretty much it worked. And then they realized they had to address the offense. They've addressed that with a Solder trade, with their various moves. I felt like they'd really targeted a lot of their needs, but if they're going to be short in the secondary, that's going to be an absolute issue. You can't have that situation. I mean, you were talking about how important is a defensive back in today's NFL. I'd say it's one of the four or five most important positions on the field.
Well, quarterback, left tackle, an elite pass rusher, and then good secondary play.
Absolutely.
And the Giants have two-fourths of their secondary covered, you'd think. You know, they've got Landon Collins, who is one of my favorite safeties in the entire league. They've got Janoris Jenkins, who played at a high level 2 years ago and a decent level last season when he was on the field. This Eli Apple situation now becomes much bigger. It needs to be corrected. And I don't know if Dave Gettleman can do that, but if he can, that goes a long way towards alleviating the concerns the Giants have in their defensive backfield. But offensive line, quarterback, linebacker, a pass rusher to replace JPP, those are all needs that they had prior to this move happening today where Cockrell leaves town. Defensive back is now a need, too. They need to get Eli Apple on the same page with the new defensive coordinator and James Fetcher and Dave Gettleman.
And by the way, I am more convinced than ever, if the Giants don't trade that number two pick, and you better offer them a King's ransom, because they're not going to trade that number two pick, they will take Josh Rosen.
Please don't be Josh Rosen.
It's going to be Josh Rosen. They will take him.
Last time a Southern California quarterback came to New York was Mark Sanchez, and I didn't like the way that ended.
Mark Sanchez took him to an AFC championship
game. Took him to
game.
Two, but...
After
yeah.
That. I mean, that went on.
I think they would take that.
Bad.
I think a lot of teams would take championship right now.
It's hard to believe the Jets weren't back-to-back AFC championships.
You could actually say the same thing about USC quarterbacks if you want to go and take a shot at that. What's the most successful year with
Carson Palmer?
Palmer? Yeah. I mean, other than that, boy, there's been list of busts from up and down my arm.
Matt Castle.
John
David Booty.
I mean, there's there's
Matt
a lot
Barkley.
Of them.
Matt Barkley, who I didn't just realize was still in the NFL, signed the other day. I don't remember with who, but Matt Barkley is still around.
Yeah. I mean,
Matt Leinart.
Matt Leinart. Definitely get him in there. I'm sure we're missing out on a few others.
No, but you bring that up, and I hadn't even thought about that.
Sorry about that.
does that make you your man crush on Darnold? Does that, do you hear that list and go, maybe I'm.
No, but I just said, let's not that. Affect what we see with Darnold, but it is. People are going to. I mean, that's why I heard it again. That's why I brought it back up, because people are bringing it up all over the media because of that.
Is he a product of the system that works at the college level but doesn't work in the NFL? I mean, does that concern you? Or is he just a really good quarterback who is so good and is so talented and has so many physical abilities that it's just going to work no matter what system he's coming from?
Different coaches have different systems, so the system argument loses weight with me, because Clay Helton has a different system than Steve Sarkisian, than Pete Carroll.
All right, Brady, what is... Remember, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, coming up in about 20 minutes. It's really dumbed down. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. So get ready for that. But first, Brady, what's coming up next?
Well, Rich and I had a chance to talk a little hockey today.
Yeah.
My new man crush, Ryan Donato. He scored again the other day for the Bruins against the Blues. We'll talk about that with Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal. We'll do it next.
Matthew Ross next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN Network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Friday. That means it's time to go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line for our weekly conversation with Matthew Ross, our buddy over at TSN 690 in Montreal. Also, you can find him online at deadhitsports.com. Matthew, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Well, I appreciate you joining us, and let's start with this. Two games and two goals for Bruins' new sensation, Ryan Donato. What do you make of Donato's performance right away?
Well, I'll tell you something. It's amazing. They just keep plugging guys into the lineup, and they keep scoring. He looks like the real deal. We saw it at other levels as well. This isn't like a flash in the pan kind of player. You know, the Bruins are really set up for the future, and maybe the future is now in terms of a playoff run for Donato.
And Matthew, could this be a blessing in disguise with all these injuries? I mean, as a Bruins lifer, I was just disgusted. They're piling up here at the worst possible time, but it sounds like Bergeron's coming back very soon, and it just seems to me that this may time out perfectly for the playoffs.
You said it yourself about Bergeron. If the players are able to come back, yes, it's a blessing in disguise. I mean, it's an 82-game season. It's a long grind. These guys get tired at this point in the year. You got to gear up now for these more physical, one-goal, low-scoring, grinded-out, you know, no shootout, long overtime kind of playoff games. And so if the guys are healthy heading into the playoffs, then yes, it's a great thing. Older players like Bergeron, Backes, and, you know, some of these guys getting some rest. I mean, the caveat, and I've said it before on this show, is they need McAvoy back. He's a difference maker. They need that puck-moving guy. They need that speed on the blue line. Otherwise, I think they'll be fine in the first round. But beyond that, I really think that he's a difference maker, and they need him back.
I'm going back to Donato, Rich, because I'm so excited about him. Prospects are my thing, Matthew, so I'm going back to Donato. Like, he just seems like he knows where the puck is, and he knows what to do with it whenever it's on his stick. We saw it in the Olympics. We saw it, a beautiful goal he had in his debut earlier this week. I mean, what do you see from players like that just always seem to, A, be around the puck, and B, know exactly what to do with it?
Well, it's intelligence. It's hockey IQ, as they like to say, and he's got it. And it's one thing to have a skill level. It's another thing to know where to be, where to anticipate. You know, what's that saying Wayne Gretzky always used to have? It's not about where you are, it's where you're going. And you know, he always knew where to go. And this guy's got the pedigree. You know, a second round pick, still young at 21 years old. I love the fact that he's from Massachusetts, right? So he's got that pride playing for the team. His dad, obviously, long-time Bruin. So, I mean, this is such a tremendous, tremendous fit. And I think that he's got a chance to be, you know, really, really special just based on, like we mentioned, the intangibles, the hockey IQ. Think about it as well. It's been a long year for this guy, right? Olympics, Boston Bruins, you know, the minors. I mean, how many teams has he played on in a calendar year? It's really incredible.
I fall in love with baseball prospects. I fall in love with NFL draft picks. I don't usually get attached to hockey prospects. Do people usually do this? Because this is a fun world to be in hockey for me.
Well, I mean, that's a loaded question. You're asking a Canadian, right? So, I mean, Sidney Crosby was known about when he was young and young kid, obviously. You know, Eric Lindros, when he was drafted, you know, people said when he was 15, 16 years old, he looked like a man and he could have been in the NHL. So people were following him when he was playing for the, you know, Oshawa Generals in Ontario. So yeah, it's nothing new up here, but down there, it's cool when you have these kinds of guys for sure. I mean, you saw a bit of that with Jimmy Vesey, right? When he was in college, right. People were obsessed with, where's he going to sign? Where's he going to sign?
Matthew, speaking of Canadians, my goodness, what a year. I mean, they get Carey Price back and he still gives up 5 goals in Pittsburgh. I mean, other than Gallagher, really, I mean, is this team fixable heading into next year?
Oh, boy. It's really rough. It's a rough season, and the future as well. It's such an unknown. You know, the Canadians have the worst line of centers in the league, and that's the biggest issue for them. They have some talented wingers. They got a couple of, you know, defensemen like Petrie, who's had to, you know, log so much time with Shea Weber out most of the year. But it's really about centers, and they thought they had one in Drouin. He never really, you know, played there this amount of time, and he couldn't do it. And Galchenyuk, they've really screwed around with him for years, center, left wing, right wing. They need to go out the offseason, and they need to get a center. And it's something that is said here in this marketplace for the last 20 years. But if they don't do it, absolutely they're in trouble. We've seen a couple of good defensive prospects come up. 19-year-old Victor Mete, before he broke his hand a few weeks ago, look like a real revelation, somebody that's a puck-moving defenseman that can maybe have a future in the NHL and on a top four. But they absolutely need, the cupboard isn't all that stocked, they absolutely need to get a center in the offseason. Now, everyone's talking about John Tavares with the Islanders. Will he sign there? Will he come back? It could be a situation like Steven Stamkos where he really, you know, weighed all his options, but waited, and stayed in Tampa. That could happen. But remember, the Islanders have taken a step back this year. They gave up seven goals last night. Yeah. They have no goaltending whatsoever. The defense is terrible. So does John Tavares want to stay on the island? Or can a team like the Canadiens, who have cap room, come in and say, hey, you know, Shea Weber, Carey Price, he played with them on the Olympic team, John. Do you want to come here?
Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal, also online at Dead Hit Sports. Rich has more Canadiens questions.
Oh, I do. I just, that the Carey Price thing just fascinates me. I mean, I just, and it's not because he was my number one pick in my fantasy league, and needless to say, it was a rough winter in that department. But I mean, whose fault is what Carey Price? Is it the injuries? Is it what's in front of him? Or is it Carey Price that's caused this? And is he fixable? Is that it? He goes from MVP, constant Vezina winner, to this?
Yeah, 30 years old, coming off a bad injury heading into the season. And then obviously the concussion recently, he's at least been able to come back to the ice. His confidence might be shaken. He also has a minor league defense corps in front of him. Yeah. That's another thing right now, too, is the Canadiens' defense is just terrible. They have no scoring. The mood on this squad is just, you know, not great. He just turned 30 years old. He's about to embark on an eight-year, 80-something million-dollar contract, which kicks in next year. So the Canadiens have put all their eggs in the Carey Price basket, and if he doesn't perform like he used to, they're going to be in a whole lot of trouble moving forward. Now, they have some other, you know, goalie prospects, but when you tie up that amount of money in one player, it's a new NHL. Everyone used to want to get the Dominic Hasek and build around the goalie. Now it's about scoring goals, and hey, let's just get a good goalie. That's what we've seen, right, in recent years. Matt Murray coming in for the Penguins doesn't make a ton of money, and here is Carey Price tying up $10 million. It's going to be a tough future here if he doesn't regain.
Matthew, spring training baseball north of the border next week. The Blue Jays are going to take on the Cardinals in the two-game set at Olympic Stadium. What's the excitement level around baseball in Montreal next week?
Well, it's mediocre for a variety of reasons. One, the games are on a Monday and Tuesday, which is not optimal. That's because of new CBA required or mandated days off for the players. So that's really screwed the local promoter, Evenco, in terms of not being able to draw out-of-towners as much, not being able to get a day game for kids. So a Monday and a Tuesday night, the Canadians are playing on the Monday night locally here as well. So that's a really, really tough sell. Yesterday, Evenco announced that they've sold over 25,000 for both games. One game could get up to 30,000. Now, folks will say, wow, that's a big, big drop-off, right? Well, the issue is also with the Monday and Tuesday game. How many MLB parks get more than that on a Monday and Tuesday night early in the season? So that's something to keep in mind. The other thing is they jacked up their ticket prices. They didn't lower them for a Monday-Tuesday game. Box seats for this game, guys. You ready to watch preseason baseball, Cardinals-Blue Jays? I mean, can you name one Cardinal other than Yadier Molina? $92 for a box seat for a preseason game on a Monday or a Tuesday night. A ticket near the right field foul pole, $54. Ugh. So it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle that we could get 30,000 for one of these games. So, you know, I the outward opinion is, oh, yeah, they're bored. They don't want games anymore. But the reality is they're not being helped all that much. Right. The last factor I'll mention in is every year there's a spectacular pregame ceremony that they promote, that they market to bring people in. Last year, Tim Raines. 2 years ago, they had Pedro Martinez here. And people flocked. They spent money just to see these guys and the pomp and circumstance on the field. This year, it's a bunch of former Expos for one night. They haven't announced details for the other night. They haven't marketed it at all. So we really just don't know. So there's been a few factors that haven't gone the right way. But in the end, they'll get a decent amount of folks for a preseason game on a Monday and a Tuesday.
I mean, couldn't we at least get like a Triumph and April Wine reunion or something before the game, you know? I'm trying to think of all these Canadian bands that are
around.
It's
funny, April Wine, that's right. Yeah, they overperform in Montreal.
But that's marketing stupidity at its worst. Isn't the whole point to get 56,000 in for each game and send that message to MLB?
It is, but at the same time, I think message is received when you do it 4 years in a row, including last year for, you know, the lousy Pittsburgh Pirates or the so-so Pittsburgh Pirates as a draw. So I think the message is received. You could take it as, yeah, preseason games, been there, done that. Monday night, no, I got work tomorrow. I'm not going. So I think that's possibly the mentality that MLB will take into account this year when they look at the attendance figures.
Matthew Ross, TSN 690 in Montreal and online at deadhitsports.com. I'm encouraging everyone, go north of the border, watch the games. Marcus Stroman, my guy, he's pitching on Monday for the Jays, so he should sell out the place alone, Matthew.
Well, you got Donaldson, the former MVP as well. Hey, how about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? It has been announced that he will make the trip and play in these games. The other thing is, remember Dante Bichette?
Yep.
His son, Bo Bichette, a prospect, he'll be at these games as well. And hey, you still got the exchange rate, right?
That's right. Matthew, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Look at you guys talking a little hockey, of getting ready for that. That's almost playoff time.
Just make it the show. Let's go the whole 2 hours.
When does the season end, for crying out loud?
Eight more games? Nine more games?
Yeah, jeez.
What's the longer countdown? Until hockey season ends or until baseball season starts?
Yeah, it's
what
supposed
do you
to kill me. Yeah,
what do you want to talk about, checkers and chess?
He only wants to talk about Rosen and Darnold.
Unfortunately, I do have two stories I do want to get to before we go ahead and get ready for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Stephen Wright, suspended 15 games.
Yeah.
He is that breaking news?
Yeah, that's come down within the last 10, 15 minutes. It's 15 games, and it will only start when he's on the roster.
Yeah.
Once he hits the roster, though, it won't count against the 25-man roster.
So he's got to be on the 40-man roster. Well, he's already on the 40-man roster. Well,
he's supposed to be their fifth starter.
Yeah. So what I think,
but he's battling an injury.
Yeah. Right. So once he gets on the roster, then they will suspend him for the 15 games, but then they get to bring up somebody in his.
Yeah, so he's got to be healthy, in other words. They can't say, oh, you're injured, that counts as.
Well, they can rush him back a little bit early, is what they could do there.
What a strange story, though. That story was kind of hard to believe at first, and then it just sort of got swept under the rug, and now it's obviously bad.
15 games, he also said he has decided and agreed not to appeal.
And remember, this is about domestic violence, yeah.
Right,
so let's remind the audience.
Yeah.
And at least from what I saw, now maybe you have new information, but there was no physical violence that they knew of at the time. When it first came out, it was about a verbal altercation. It was about an altercation inside his parents' house. His wife was involved. But I didn't know anything at the time about physical altercation. I don't know if you have something different that says that. You have the computer.
Right.
So
the story says here, Red Sox pitcher Stephen Wright suspended 15 games without pay for violating Major League Baseball's domestic violence policy. That's what the commissioner announced today. This came down, I want to say, they said 5:25 Eastern. That's about 11 minutes ago. Red Sox were hopeful. Obviously, Wright was going to go ahead and recover from the right knee surgery last year. Just says MLB investigated Wright following that December 8th incident involving his wife. He was arrested at their Tennessee home. It goes through really the particulars of the case. Wright and his wife have been undergoing counseling since then. While it's clear that Mr. Wright regrets what transpired that evening, takes full responsibility for his actions, and has committed himself to treatment and counseling components of the Major League Baseball domestic abuse policy. I've concluded that Mr. Wright's contact on December 8th violated the policy and warrants discipline. That's what Rob Manfred said. So, there you go.
So, no report. So, we still don't know. We still don't have any details. And it's amazing that in this time that we don't have any official details. Because I had never seen anything that said there was anything physical. And that doesn't mean that abuse can't take many forms and that it's certainly inappropriate no matter what form it takes. But I just hadn't. No, I still have yet to see that detail.
Right,
it does feel very proactive of MLB,
the
timing. It really does. I mean, it seems like there's still a lot out there on this.
Well, I mean, he'll get the 15 games. And one other story. Again, we're not political. We don't make up the news, but we don't censor it either. You guys may have heard the Parkland students in Florida, obviously where the 17 young people were killed. They're marching to Washington, D.C., and they're going to march there and their families. What famous owner said, you can take my plane?
Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft says, you can take my plane.
Huh.
And he is sending everybody from Florida to Washington, D.C. For the march there. Yeah,
tomorrow's a big day in that department, a gun control rally in Montpelier, too. It's something that hits home everywhere.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country.
Yeah.
Why are their phone lines open? Brady dumped it down.
How do you know their phone lines open?
I'm guessing. 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Duke, Syracuse, neither. Like, Coach K coaches this team. Don't give the answer. Don't give the answer. That's the answer to question five. That's one of the questions. That's how easy it is. We dubbed it down. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Why is there a line open? I don't know. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
Why are the phone lines open for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country? We brought intern Logan to answer the phone so intern Aaron doesn't have to hang up on everybody like he usually does. People always don't call in when we're on remote for some reason. I don't know what it is.
I think they call in. They just can't get on the air.
802-655-6672. All the lines are open for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. And the problem is they want to hear like the four, five, six guys before them so they get the answers. But we dumped it down. We absolutely, like, this team wears orange. I mean, I can't get any easier.
And we've only
got
like 7 minutes to do it, so you got
to. Oh, we just don't play the game. What can I tell you? We have a lot of texts right now. We just don't play the game unless you call up right now. 802-655-6672 for you guys on your hockey. And first of all, for you, Brady, Zach in Williston said Brady has first-rate interview abilities.
Wow.
Smart and relevant questions always, Zach in Williston.
Oh, thank you, Zach.
That must be a mistake.
Like questions.
He must have misspelled Brady and meant to say Arnie. So I'm sure that's what he got there.
That's got to be it.
Trevor in St. Albans, this probably you could answer this one, Rich. Julian doesn't help. Yeah. He seems to be suffocating their offense like he did with the Bruins.
Yep.
The young guys are scared to play, it seems like.
It really does make you wonder.
Well, you're not going to blame him on everything that's going on.
No,
they had a problem before he got up there, a year
he
and a half
took
ago.
Him to the Eastern Conference final.
They fired their coach in midseason.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Eastern Conference quarters last year. They lost to the Rangers, right?
You look at some of these guys like Galchenyuk and Pascheretti. What happened? That's a 35-40 goal scorer on an annual basis. And the whole team is a minus 25, and they're not playing good two-way hockey. And they're not protecting Carey Price, and he's not healthy most of the time either. But there's everywhere Julian goes, of course, he's only been, what, three places, the scoring is a problem.
All right, we'll get to more text later on. We have Power Play ready to go. Let me go ahead and tell you how we play the game. The answers are Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. So, Brady, if I said to you, Coach K coaches this team, you would say?
Duke.
Oh, you're so good at this
Never
game.
Never missed a question.
If Brady, Rich, if I said to you, Jim Boeheim coaches this team, you would say?
That'd be cute.
Oh, you're so good at this game. Brady, if I said Sean Miller coaches this team?
That'd be neither.
That's because he coaches Arizona, at least for now. There's rumors that he might not be around at the end of the day. That's just a rumor. Don't say you heard it from me. Syracuse, Duke, or neither. Or Duke, Syracuse, or neither.
Duke,
Syracuse, or neither. Don't make it any harder than it's got to be, people. We really dubbed it down. So without further ado, it is time for Power Play. All right, who's first up?
Brian
Richmond. Ryan?
Brian.
Oh, close enough. You can pretend he's Ryan.
Dolphins fan.
Brian in Richmond. Brian, are you ready for Power Play?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they're hanging. That's why we don't play Power Play. Who's next up there, intern Aaron?
Also Brian, I think.
Yep, Brian in Bristol.
I bet you they'll hang up on him, too. Brian in Bristol, are you ready for Power Play?
Hello?
There you go.
Wait, he's there. But his dial tone is still going.
Which Brian is this? Who is
this? Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Brian, talk to me. I hear you.
Hello,
Brian.
We hear you, Brian. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't think he hears us.
A couple of show tunes.
Hello?
You better hang up on him because he's going to say something that we don't want him to say over the air.
Yeah,
you guys got to fix the phone lines. We always have a problem with the phone lines. You know what?
Don't have a problem with the phone lines.
No, it's Brady. He always has a problem with the phone lines.
It's Brady's fault.
It's totally Brady's fault. You know, this is why I keep calling them intern Aaron. Yeah. They're never going to graduate from being an intern. They're never going to go ahead and graduate from that. All right, should we do somebody here?
Yeah, we got somebody live.
All right, what's your name? I forget.
I'm Joe from Hinesburg.
Joe, move the thing a little bit closer. Joe from Hinesburg. The three answers, Joe: Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Duke, Syracuse, or neither. Head coach is older.
Syracuse.
Yes, he got that right off the bat. He's off and running. The university is closer to the state capital of its state. You'll have to guess on this one.
Duke.
Yes, he's guessing. He's making it sound like he knows it. Program has more retired jersey numbers.
Duke.
Oh, look at that. We're flying along here. Question four. Program's home venue has a higher capacity.
Syracuse.
He's 4 for 4, people. And he's
looking at your answer.
No, I got it covered up. He can't be looking at my answers. The university was established first.
This is not the final
Jeopardy
question,
Joe.
That's
the final Jeopardy question. Let's pick it up.
Duke.
He's 5 for 5.
He's going to run the table.
I think he Googled that.
Head coach has coached at more than one university.
Duke.
He's hot now. Question says, is he going to get all this right?
He might get them all.
Question seven. Program has been the more NCAA tournaments.
Syracuse.
No!
How close?
No, we'll tell you later.
We'll tell you later. Good run.
Who wants that, next?
I got to tell you.
He wants to play. I
that
know he
is
does.
The best run that anybody live has ever had in front of us. Is that not incredible
and,
or what?
And everybody at the bar, you guys start with six correct answers. Who's next?
All right. Do you have anybody on the line, intern Aaron, or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, we got Dan in Burlington.
All right, let's
let's see if we've got Dan in Burlington. Yeah, Dan
and a dial tone to go with it.
Dan in Burlington. We'll see if it's him or the dial tone. Dan, are you
there? No, you hung up on me.
Okay, well, relax, Dan. We're sorry hung up on you. Dan, what are the three possible answers? Dan, what are the three possible answers?
Oh, my goodness. Aaron, make sure that Dan is in program and audition.
Hello, yeah. Dan, can you hear me now, Dan? Dan, can you hear me now?
I'm going to have to...
We're going to have to cut it. We're going to have to go through the answers. All right, take him out of...
So we got one person.
We got one person.
Play.
He almost ran the
and
table.
And he almost ran the table. Head coach is older. That would Syracuse. Do you know what the difference in his age?
73 for Boeheim, 71 for Coach K.
Coach K looks good for 71.
Yes,
I
got to
tell you.
He looks the same as he did 30 years ago.
He does. I am shocked.
Just like you.
I thought that was an easy one. I thought you were going to tell me Boeheim 73 and Coach K 63 or something like that. He looks very... He looks younger than me. Coach K looks younger than me.
That's shocking.
It is shocking.
Yeah, who would ever thunk?
University is closer to the state capital of its state.
That's Duke because Duke's 30 miles from Raleigh, whereas Syracuse is, 100 miles from Albany.
Program has more retired jersey numbers.
Duke, 13 to 12.
That's close. I would never have ever thought about that. I would not have thought of. Program has more, home venue has a higher, seating capacity?
That's easy.
Syracuse. Yeah. The Carrier Dome is like 35,000. Right. Cameron Indoor is 9,000.
I would have easily gotten that one. University was established first.
Duke, it's like 1838 versus 1870 or something.
Yeah, I would have guessed Duke. I didn't know it was that close. I would have guessed Duke. Head coach has coached at more than one university. That was Duke. I mean, we know that.
Coach K coached at Army.
Yes. Program has been the more NCAA tournaments.
Duke, 42 to 38.
That's true. Huh. Yeah. Tuition is greater than $60,000.
Man.
At this university. I would have guessed Duke.
Yeah, me too.
But it's neither.
Neither. Duke is $51,000. Syracuse is $45,000.
Oh, what a bargain.
Yeah.
What a bargain.
$50,000
for
a year.
Hey, that's not without a room and board, too, big boy.
$68,000 with room and board.
Yeah, throw it that. That's still a bargain.
Just insanity.
I'm sure you wanted to go there. Right?
Yeah.
University has more undergraduate students.
Syracuse,
yes,
15,000 versus 9.
Yeah,
and most of them end up in radio.
I'm shocked you only told me 15,000 for Syracuse. I expected in the high 20s. I'm shocked on that one. Football team had 8 wins this season.
Neither.
Well, how many did Duke have?
Duke had 7. Syracuse had 4.
Wow.
Tough question.
So there you got
Duke
power
has a
play.
Football team.
The new and exciting game sweep in the country. Mike at Swanson, I went to Sox Jays 2 years ago in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
They had trash cans catching the water from the leaky roof. Such a hole now. Do they not do that anymore, guys? Is there a chance that we could maybe go up there to see a baseball game?
We just talked with Matthew Ross a half an hour ago.
I didn't hear the whole
that's true.
Thing.
Monday and Tuesday next week.
Next week is going to be who? I didn't hear
and there are tickets available, and they're insanely expensive.
Blue Jays
which is really
Cardinals.
Stupid.
Wow.
The whole idea is to fill the place, but they're making it impossible by charging too much.
By the way, I heard people complaining about the Bruins. Regular season tickets being way too expensive and how they can't even take their kid to the high upper level 300 seats or anything.
Meanwhile,
like
I went to 2 Arizona games last week for a grand total of $13.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Combined.
It was like 200 and something. So we'll come back. We'll finish out the show right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, thanks to our friends at Farnham Ale and Lager here in South Burlington. Did a great job with Sugar Shack. Certainly appreciate all that. Guys, enjoy your weekend. Everybody be safe out there. We're back at it Monday. Oh, boy, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Thanks a lot, everybody. This is 101.3 ESPN.